Hey, welcome to today's podcast. When we think of triggers, we think of trauma and conditioning. And so we might go into shadow work and inner child healing, which is awesome. But what if it's not that? Exactly. I am a person that recognizes patterns, like a lot. And I noticed certain things were setting me off in a way that I knew something else was happening. My husband was sipping his coffee one morning and my body went berserk. I grabbed my ears like really fast. He looks at me like, what the hell was that? We're going to talk about sensory overload and overstimulation today. Super important factors in the healing game. Fun fact, it's really hard to break generational trauma if you want to literally break someone's face for just being themselves. And kids do a lot being themselves. And we love that. And we want to nurture that while taking care of our own needs too, right? And a lot of us may not have even been aware of many of them until we had kids. Which is pretty fucking stimulating. And what about when your kid gets overstimulated and has sensory overload too? And even if you're not a parent, I think more of us have these issues but are unaware of them, as it's harder to pinpoint them because of all the other baggage we're trying to sort through each day. With it feels like the smallest magnifying glass ever. Like trying to pinpoint what's happening to us all the time, right? So the other night, we were all watching a movie and my kid was sitting next to me, all relaxed and cozy. It felt super nice. He all of a sudden starts chewing on some super chewy candy. My whole system went crazy. It was like, oh, hell no. I covered my ears really fast. And I sat and I observed what I was feeling so I didn't flip out on him for just doing what people and teeth just do, like chewing food. Because this kind of trigger feels a lot more physical to me. And I think it's very easy to lash out to like make it stop, like nails on a chalkboard kind of feeling, you know what I mean? Which I found out is an actual thing, which we will get back to in a minute, friend. So I go to him, my love, can you move a little closer to daddy while you chew? You are doing nothing wrong at all. Mommy's ears are extra sensitive to the sound. And I would just go in the other room, but I want to stay and watch the movie with you. Making sure he understood that I wasn't trying to get away from him. I was trying to get away from the sound. He went, oh, okay, and moved over. No problem. I go, thank you so much. I love you and I want to be close, but it hurts mommy sometimes. I covered my ears when it was still intense for me. And if it wouldn't have been enough, I would have just like went in another room for a minute. This was actually a lesson that I taught my kid a while back. When my family would watch the news or something not appropriate for his age, and I told him, we can't control anyone else but ourselves. So I modeled unspoken boundaries. I wouldn't try to explain past the first explanation. I would take him and myself outside or to another room. Super important lesson, so they don't feel like a victim in situations. They always have a choice in what they do and how they react. Can't control the world around us, can control ourselves. I think most would agree that parenting in general is insanely overstimulating, right? So many things happening, screaming, yelling, crying babies, and kids, their toys, making noises and lights, visual messes, lots of physical pulling, touching, and constant needs. I'm picturing the scene from the original Grinch Stole Christmas when he has the drums banging in his ears and he's complaining about all the noise. And then our kids could have their own set of overstimulation going on too, which without awareness can get super duper messy for everyone. Now, this is very specific, but like everything else, we are never alone. So maybe you or someone you know has experienced this too, and also didn't know it was a real thing. I started noticing patterns of when I would feel particularly angry, irritated, incredibly triggered, when I would hear common noises that most people don't pay attention to. Chewing, breathing, certain smacking or popping noises. Like I wanted to throat punch someone. I know. Oh, real spiritual and healed, Christina. Yep, that's the truth. Unless you get this and are screaming in agreement with me, I had the awareness that the punishment didn't fit the crime. So then I started going down the freaking rabbit holes and I started seeing posts about overstimulation and sensory processing issues. And then I see this one about misophonia. And it is when someone is affected emotionally by common sounds like breathing, yawning, or chewing. And it creates a fight or flight response that triggers anger and a desire to escape. What? Oh, and there's more. It can have a link to trauma as well. What fucking is it? Like, honestly, like, it apparently often develops in childhood in response to sounds made by a parent or other family member. So the sound itself can cause distress and strengthens as a trigger when it affects a person already struggling with stress intolerance. Are you shitting me? Holy hell. It is the most magical feeling to be seen and validated, is it not? I just thought I was being reactive, falling back into old unconscious patterns. I never thought there could be an actual physiological, psychological thing happening to me. And this I found interesting also. A sensory processing disorder is considered neurodivergence, but that it doesn't have to mean autism, because this neurodivergence can be linked to so many possible things: ADHD, PTSD, anxiety, different disabilities and delays. And for me personally, it doesn't matter what the label is. I just want to know what the issue is and what can we do about it. And don't worry, friend, we will get to that. Now, while it makes it hard to parent sometimes, I know, it also gave me empathy for when something bothers my kid. He has always been super sensitive to certain smells and the fit and feel of clothing and shoes. It's hard to find shoes and socks that don't bother him because everything is magnified in a sense. It was super easy for things to feel too tight, to feel weird. Like if his pants touch his ankle in a certain way, if his sleeve touched the inside of his jacket in a certain way, he got super upset. And it's like anger and crying immediately, like he can't get away from it fast enough, like he can't escape it. Remember what I said before? And being honest, before healing, I would be like, oh, come on, it's not that big of a deal. Or if I was not feeling great to begin with, are you kidding me? Like, what is it now? In frustration. Not awesome, I know. But that was the reality. And we have to learn to give ourselves compassion in those moments too. What did I need to give myself compassion for? I wasn't aware and taking care of my own needs. And it showed up at my kids' needs. Wrong friggin' target, Christina. I know. It wasn't until I started doing shadow work on why I was so bothered by him being bothered and seeing that it was because no one validated what I was experiencing. No one gave me that consideration. Let's go. You're fine. Stop being so dramatic. And when I started reparenting my inner child and validating their experiences and gave them the support they need now, I am able to see and hold that for others, not just my kid. So, okay, what can we do when we are in sensory overload for you and your kid? Well, for yourself, figure out and write down specific sensory triggers that set you off. And notice what the first feelings that come up are. Body feels hot, start grinding teeth together, start squinting eyes or like shuddering when there's loud noise or lights. Sometimes I froze up in overwhelm, like staring at nothing, if that makes sense. Because for a long time, I didn't know my body was giving me signals to address. And even if I did know, I didn't know what the hell to do with them. Whatever it is, write it down. And then you're going to know what environmental factors to watch out for. When you get the first feelings, you can follow your action plan that we're going to talk about to avoid losing your shit full throttle. I like to refer to this as stop, drop, and roll. I'll explain it, I promise, but it will help you remember this. I know it sounds silly, but it'll help you remember to do this, I'm telling you. Also, it can be very helpful to go over what happens to you and talking about this plan in advance with someone you trust, like your partner. This will help with cooperation and support. It also helps, like, for your child to know, like, if they're at an age where, you know, you can talk to them, for them to know what's going on with you. This will help them see, like, that, you know, in case they have these issues themselves, they will see themselves in you. So this also helps having another pair of eyes to see what's happening in the environment and what's happening with you to give you a heads up, which is awesome. Also, when you need to make moves, they know what the hell's going on so they can help you get to the plan and carry out said plan. You can and will have to do this on your own too, of course, but it can be very helpful, especially at first, because remember, your nervous system is being thrown into fight or flight. And without a lot of nervous system work and practice, it can be very difficult to get your awareness and action-oriented brain moving together as you need. Basically, the more freaked out you are, the harder it is to remember the damn coping mechanisms. Another prep step of the plan is to identify safe spaces, places for you to get away from what's happening and calm your system down. I'll give examples in a minute. So what the hell is stop, drop, and roll? I know we think of it from like when we were kids, like with fires, and it is kind of like, but the fire is internal. And this applies to you and your kiddo. So number one, the stop. Stop and notice the triggers that are happening and your kid's physical and emotional responses. The stop can also mean an activity that stops the stimulus. For me, with noises, I might cover my ears. So like I might cover my ears quick and or put the noise canceling headphones in to help it calm down, especially at home. The stop can also be self-calming exercises. I put my hand on my heart to still and hold myself. And then I love the double inhale breathing technique. And truthfully, I am not a big breathwork person. It's just like not my thing. And even I use this daily. You take in a huge breath. When full, you take in one quick other breath. And then you hold it. And then you let out the breath longer. You exhale longer than your inhale count. So basically, when the exhale is longer than your inhale, it does different things in the brain. I got that from Huberman Lab. He does really great things for your mental well-being, like breathing exercises and all sorts of things to try for your nervous system. And this one is the double inhale. If you want to like look it up on YouTube, it scientifically slows your heart rate down and calms your nervous system. It mimics the hyperventilation we naturally do when we cry super hard to calm down. You know, that pretty cool, right? Like that's exactly like if that works, great. Then you're going to stay there. If not, we're going to go to step two and we're going to drop it like it's hot. Number two, the drop and stop, drop and roll. Drop whatever you or your kid is doing. And before anyone asks, because I know someone will, this does not mean just drop the damn baby. It means safely drop the activity, put baby in crib. And yes, I did that with my son before healing. When I was so overwhelmed and sleep deprived, at one point I felt like I was seriously going to die. Yes, I put him down and I walked away because that's what we have to do to survive sometimes. So then number three, this is the roll part. Stop, drop, roll. We are getting the hell out of Dodge. You are going to refer to the safe spaces that you already came up with and go there. This could be another room, the bathroom, your car for your child. This could be one of those calm down corners that's all over social media, or as simple as going outside. That works extremely well for my kid and I. Grounding outdoors, even just walking out in fresh air, it does something to us and it switches up the energy. Grounding outdoors really is. It's natural magic, I'm telling you. The other part of roll is also possibly planning to roll out of an event early so you feel like you have an escape, which is really calming to your nervous system, just knowing that you have that early out, right? If you get it, you get it. Once you get to your calming safe spaces, you can do your self-calming techniques that you resonate with, like the breath work that I talked about, resetting your vagus nerve that I also love, or even throwing an ice pack on your chest will calm your nervous system down and get you back into your body and present, okay? And that's when you start making decisions from a conscious point of view and are out of survival. That's the whole key here. I think it's hard sometimes to even admit that we have these issues because of conditioning growing up, that something is wrong with you, right? I am more and more honest with people now, especially my husband and kid, and try to say what's going on, like stating what is happening during the movie with my kid, instead of just pretending I was okay and then flipping out when it became too much. With awareness and practice, I was able to still be there and stay conscious and connected to him in that moment and still get my needs met. He knew it wasn't him. He knew it was about me. It was how my system reads what's going on. He also saw how to cope without taking it out on others. And he saw that it is valid and okay to feel certain things more than others, which many of us never got. Lastly, and certainly not least, sometimes your system wants to scream stop. And if you actually do scream stop, remember that you are still human. Parents are still human. We're going to mess up. And they're going to need to see that too. They will watch you to see how to repair when they make a step they don't prefer. They are watching you to see how to give themselves compassion and forgiveness, to not stay stuck in a guilt-shame loop that has held so many of us back from moving forward in life. The plan is not a written in stone thing. This is what has been helpful to me. It can vary based on the situation, and it has to feel helpful to you to work. So cherry pick what resonates and leave the rest. And that is totally perfect. Most likely way better than just melting down like most of us do. And of course, reach out to a therapist or healer for more guided assistance. That's what they were made to do. Use them. I hope you have some helpful tips to take with you today. Come up with your stop, drop, and roll plan before shit hits the fan. The holidays are the perfect testing grounds for this. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Always, always sending you so, so much love. See you on the next one, friend.